Right, the special city council meeting for Tuesday, March 10, 2015 will now come to order. Madam Clerk, can you please call the roll?
Councilmember Best?
Here.
Councilmember Holmes?
Here.
Councilmember DeVries?
Here.
Councilmember Erby?
Here.
Councilmember Hanson?
Here.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Here.
Mayor Johnson?
Here.
There's a quorum.
Councilmember Hanson, could you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This brings us to audience participation, time for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council for up to 3 minutes, 5 minutes if you are representing a group. Audience participation is now open. Excuse me, is there questions?
Your Honor, I was just saying that on the agenda that was given out in our packet, there isn't any audience participation, so we must have a corrected agenda.
Oh. Point of order, request for additional information on the agenda from Councilmember DeVries. Madam Clerk.
Thank you. That was a misprint on there. Audience participation was left off of that, but as by our code, we always have to have audience participation. So it was reprinted with the audience participation on there. My apologies for that.
Good. Great.
All right. Very good. Now clarify that.
Thank you.
All right. So we are back now to audience participation, and we have someone before us, Mr. Haberman, and you have, can sign in and state your name for the record, go ahead.
Okay, my name's Eugene Haberman, and I represent myself. I live in the Matanuska Valley. Thank you for correcting the agenda, because I would have said something at your 7 o'clock meeting if the public couldn't speak. As you know, state law requires that all public meetings you need to provide a reasonable opportunity for the public to be heard, and thank you for correcting the agenda. Conflict of meetings. You have an introduction for public hearing going for a change of date, but today I went through the schedule, and you have a tentative for next month and also for this month. Please make some notes here. You have 3:24 meeting. The assembly has a meeting at 6 and 7 o'clock. That's also going to be the same time that ordinance is going to, I believe, coming up or whatever, and I won't, as you know, that might reduce the public attendance by 100% sometimes. Also, there's also conflict in April alone. You have a 4:14 dates. That's in conflict. There's a joint assembly meeting and with school district, 6 o'clock. In May, you got a conflict there. May 12th and May 26th, assembly budget. In fact, hearing thing is going on and for the borough. And you have a meeting at 7 o'clock, and they've got a meeting at 6. And then also at 26, you got also a meeting. So quite a few meetings in those short period of time of conflicts. And as I said earlier, is the public shouldn't have to choose between which meeting to go to, whether a city council meeting of Palmer or a borough assembly meeting. There needs to be no conflicts there so the public can have a chance to go to both meetings. And there are an occasion yourselves wanting to be at these meetings, like that for mayor marijuana forum. You were at a meeting on a Thursday, and then the following Tuesday there was a conflict with the borough assembly, and you had a city council meeting in which the borough assembly had a resolution and passed, including an advisory, where you were attending a Thursday, and then the following Tuesday the borough assembly put two resolutions out and passed on marijuana, and city officials couldn't even attend that one. So I urge you not to have these conflicts and change your schedule, or contact the clerk and see what they can do. When I say clerk, I mean borough clerk. Also concern is that where's the timer on this thing? 36, okay. MEA is really going crazy. As I said, they have an agenda out there, which is not really a real agenda. You don't know what monies are passed. And on Friday before a Monday meeting, they they put agenda but no packets, and they pass resolutions or whatever, the packets, the board sees the stuff on a Friday, the public doesn't see it either way. I've been stressing real concern on how Anchorage operates for some time, and as you know, I've been concerned about how the borough operates, but MEA is quite worse in several ways, and I'll talk to you later. And thank you.
Gene, I just wanted to say one thing. I do appreciate you coming and talking to us, but I have a hard enough time keeping up with Palmer's issues and problems, and we occasionally have one, just, of course, trying to keep everything straight. So I'm just reminding you that it's hard to keep up with everybody else's meeting, but we're happy to hear mostly about ours. So thank you.
I have a lot of hard time, too, keeping up.
Yeah, I bet you do. All right, thank you. Anyone else that would like to come forward to address the council? All right, well, seeing no one additional come forward, audience participation is now closed. And we have a motion. We next would be to, on the agenda, is move into the committee of the whole, and note that the council may be taking action following the committee of the whole. And this is in regards to the State of Alaska Marijuana Initiative and its impact on the city of Palmer. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second, Your Honor.
We have a motion made and seconded to move into the committee of the whole. We can take that by voice vote. So all those in favor moving into the committee of the whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. With a unanimous vote, we move into the committee of the whole. And I'm going to go ahead and start off by asking... Well, first of all, I brought some copies, but it looks like the clerk probably has this in her packet as well. I brought some information from the Matsu Borough on their request to have an advisory vote put on the ballot this fall. I believe that's in your packet. I have some other... I have it here. I have seven copies for everyone, so I wanted to make sure everyone has a copy. Yeah, I have copies. Just a second. I'll sort this out. Okay. But I also, I have it right here. But I also was wondering if I could get you, Madam Clerk, just to go through your packet and tell us what we have so we all know what we have before us.
In the packet that was on the table this evening, this one here, and there's more from the public up here, the marijuana proposition, the State of Alaska marijuana proposition is in there. The House Bill 59, I also noted on each bill where it was in the legislature. Some of it's in finance, some of it's in, you know, wherever it is. So House Bill 59, House Bill 79, House Bill 133, Senate Bill 30, I believe that's called a companion something or other. For Senate Bill 30 and the state's at a glance information. And thank you for the resolution language that was supposed to be in here, but it did not make it.
All right, and I have, what I did also bring with me is just miscellaneous stuff that I picked up here and there, and from the Municipal League discussion from the conference or from the public hearing that the mayors had last month. I have some information from that. I have the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation. I have a variety of other stuff that I just happen to have with me. So if any of this seems pertinent, I can share that as time passes here. So with that, and
you're on it.
First off, Matt. Councilmember DeRees.
Before you go too far, on this one that you gave us from the Matsu Borough, has this passed?
No. And okay. Let me just take that back. I don't know for sure the status of it. It was sent to me, and they said, do we want the cities to, you know, the city want to weigh in on it? And they said, we want to know right away. I mean, like tomorrow or whatever it was, or soon. And I said, well, when I got it, I said, I can't really weigh in on much until our council sees it. And of course, the attorney has a chance to look through it. So I went ahead and sent it to Mike. And so I don't know if that's been on an agenda, or I think it was supposed to be on the 17th if it was going to be on one. So Jeanette's going to look that up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I'm also printing extra copies.
Okay. And then, so that's the most current thing that I have that's kind of pertinent to us specifically on this. And what I was, well, what I was wondering is, Mike, you want to lead us off or talk about some of the things that you've encountered just in general and maybe bring us to the specific?
Madam Mayor, members of the council, I'd like to start off by saying there's a lot of information about this and a lot to absorb, so I think it's very important to be very judicious and deliberative in whatever you do with respect to this matter. And you have a number of options. But first of all, I think to start off, the foundation of all of this issue is the ballot proposition. So it's important to, excuse me, my voice is a little scratchy, but it's important to understand what the ballot proposition does and doesn't do. And if anyone really could fully explain what it does and the approach to all of the provisions, I think that they would be very helpful to the state and to all the municipalities, because there's a lot of people looking at this and a lot of different ideas that are circulating about on how to deal with it. But I want to lead off with the ballot proposition itself. And one of the fundamental concepts associated with initiatives when they pass is that they remain in place for 2 years and they can't be changed. So that's the law of the state now, and that's what we're bound to abide by. Of course, there's some federal considerations where the federal government is not quite in accord with the state government, and maybe I'm stating the obvious. I'm sure everybody has heard that at this point. And there's serious issues related to financial questions, banking, and those sorts of things that are out there. Fortunately, we haven't had to address those yet, but depending on what you do, you might have to address those issues. And so it's very important to, as I said, to be very careful and deliberative in your determination of how best to proceed. And I think it was helpful that an ordinance was introduced to get the debate going. Whether this is the actual ordinance you ultimately adopt or not, I don't know. That's your call as the policymakers of the city. But another starting point, which is very helpful, is to look at the summary statement for the proposition. And it talks about the legalization of marijuana, when it can be used. Minors, of course, aren't able to use it. Taxing issues, there's a tax structure in there, marijuana retail facilities. There's issues related to employment that RHR will no doubt be looking at some point. And there's a number of bills that the clerk very adequately explained that are pending out there. There's a House committee hearing tomorrow, I believe, on one of the bills. I think it's 79, but I could be mistaken on that. I haven't testified in any of those. I've just listened, and I listened recently, which I would urge you all to do, whether you're driving or if you have some spare time. It's sort of interesting listening. There's two committee hearings from Representative Tilton's committee. She's chair of House Community and Regional Affairs. There's one on February 3rd and one on February 5th. There's several hours total, maybe a little bit longer. But there are people testifying, including municipalities and our own mayor, who did a good job at the committee hearing on expressing the concern that the borough has raised about whether or not this issue should be area-wide regulated or non-area-wide. Of course, everyone knows the distinction between area-wide and non-area-wide. Well, anyway, area-wide means that if the borough is given the power, the borough is a second-class borough, not home rule like the municipalities. If the borough is given the power area-wide, that means that the cities can exercise that power. So that means anything related to the regulation of marijuana would be an area-wide power. And Mayor DeVilbiss and Borough Attorney Spiropoulos spoke on that issue, and the Fairbanks North Star Borough was also supportive of this being an area-wide power. Kenai Peninsula Borough was not. So you see that there's not even uniformity among the municipalities as to how this legislation that's being developed should evolve. Of course, the city position, I presume, would be it should be a non-area-wide power, because assuming the city wants to regulate marijuana and perhaps receive some tax revenue from marijuana sales in the city, or regulate marijuana, public use of marijuana, impose the fines, and those sorts of things, then the city would want to control its own destiny. And if you go back to kind of the dawn of borough time, we all know that the only way boroughs ever got formed was the Mandatory Borough Act by John Rader, because nobody wanted boroughs. And so that's there was a big kind of headbutting between the boroughs and the cities, but the legislature adopted them at some point, and so the cities have been dealing with the boroughs since 1964. So anyway, there's a number of issues related to this entire process, but I think it would be helpful, although sometimes it's perhaps not the most exciting reading, but to look at some of these House bills and become familiar with them. One that I think is an important bill is 133. That talks to regulation. Some of the other bills are more criminal bills and decriminalizing or imposing state fines for marijuana use. Those aren't as directly applicable to us, but the question becomes, what do we want to do as far as regulating marijuana, issuing a fine? And there is kind of a fine schedule in the ballot proposition, and there's some different levels of fines versus cultivation and so on. One issue that I've been conferring with the chief on, and we're being very careful in moving forward, is whether you can have a greater than $100 fine. And in the ballot proposition, it says that you can have a fine of up to $100. So that's still on the table of where that fine could go. So we'll look into that more fully, sort of see what some other communities go and do. But one thing that we'd like to avoid is becoming a test case on one of these issues. So that's why we want to be careful. And we've seen some communities that maybe are proceeding a little quickly and are going back and sort of revisiting their process and saying, well, maybe we need to take another look at this, revisit what we've adopted. So I think the Palmer Council and the mayor have been very, very judicious and careful, wanting to comply with the law, but recognizing, too, that there's so many moving parts to this, and it's so unclear as to what the scope of many of these things will be, that you want to become more familiar with it, maybe see what other communities are doing. And also, the clerk did a very good job of putting in the list of what the other communities have done as far as adopting, banning, setting out fines, retail establishment. Some of the communities have ordinances that relate to employment issues with respect to marijuana and those sorts of things. So there's a lot to all of this, and I think there's a lot to absorb, and I apologize for this, but it's really difficult to summarize it all in one fell swoop, because there's so much of it, and you have to be careful with it. So some of the big issues are the public place issues. What does it mean to assist someone? How about the number of plants? What do you do with that? The area-wide, non-area-wide power, the local option opt-out, all of these things. And the legislature is struggling with this right now, and I think Representative Tilton is doing a good job on trying to get the information that she can, taking testimony from the municipalities. But I'm not sure the municipalities are clear on what they should do as well. I mean, Anchorage passed that one ordinance that was sort of, okay, we want to have a ban on, a moratorium on the marijuana. Wasilla has their ordinance. Nome and Alaska have ordinances. Juneau has ordinances, and you'll see them in your compendium. And I would respectfully suggest to everyone, it might be very productive to take the time to review those options and see what the other communities are doing to help you formulate ideas for your policy formulation for the city of Palmer. So that's sort of a snapshot. I'll try to answer questions if anybody has any, but I don't purport to have all the answers. And I don't know if the manager wants to weigh in or whether he's got anything to add to the mix at this point. I know he's been working on getting information and up to date on what to do with this as well.
Mr. Manager, did you have anything to add? Mayor and Council, I think the most knowledgeable person would really be Chief. We do have, Esther's not here tonight, she's sick. She's been getting some of the financial information about what other cities are thinking about, if they're going to tax stuff. We'll have that in a subsequent meeting for you. But I think Chief Romali with the attorney is he's our expert along with the Commander Ketterly.
Actually, I guess I'd like to ask, now we have a Do we have a draft? Do we have draft legislation here tonight?
It is in the regular meeting packet for introduction, but I can pull that up real quickly.
Could you? And so we're, the focus would be public consumption. I know that the, originally the request was, I think, and I'll go ahead and let the members that brought this forward specifically correct me if I didn't get quite right, but I know there was a question for you whether the smoking ordinance that we currently have in place would be sufficient or what it would cover.
Madam Mayor, thank you. That was a question, and I did look at that. And I think there's some moving parts to that as well. You might be able to argue that the smoking in public places could include marijuana. Then the larger question is, how does that relate to the smoke shacks out there? So I think there's some more moving parts to that as well to look at. So while it addresses a piece of it, there's another piece that's addressed. And there was an emergency, and I omitted this, but thank you for that question because it helps to trigger some other information on this. There was an emergency regulation from the ABC board to define public places. And so it talks about places of amusement and those sorts of things. And that might capture the smoke shack issue, but whether that's a kind of a policy call for the council and the mayor, what do you want to do with that as far as smoking? You know, the other thing is marijuana is not just smoking anymore because there's the edibles, which is a whole different program, and then there's the hash oil and its extraction, the butane extraction, and Commander Kettling gave that report, which was very helpful. About how in Colorado they've had some explosions because of the butane and that sort of thing. And so that's another factor to consider on the edibles and not just the smoking piece of it.
So may I continue on? If anyone, make sure and interrupt if you have things, but this section on the ballot that it says, the bill would allow local government to prohibit the operation of marijuana-related entities. The local government could do that by enacting an ordinance or through voter initiative. The ordinances could cover the time, place, manner, and registration of a marijuana entity's operations. Could you give just your quick overview of what you think local government really might mean? I guess that's where it kind of questioning that when between borough and area-wide, non-area-wide, and maybe where we should go with that or maybe some ideas as to where we could go with that.
Madam Mayor, if I may. A local government is a municipality, a city and borough defined by the Constitution and Title 29. Assemblies and councils, cities and boroughs are local governments. The one of the state bills that used to have local government in it was amended to change it to municipalities because if you look at the definitions in Title 29, my voice is a little scratchy, but if you look at the definitions in Title 29 for municipality, it says cities and boroughs. It doesn't really say local government. I think the legislature recognized that, and that would be sort of a technical edit to any state bill, and I think that they've done that in one of the bills, but I think it's 133, but I could be wrong. It might be one of the others. So the question becomes, you can regulate the time, place, and manner of marijuana establishments, and that almost gets to kind of a First Amendment issue, right? Because usually you regulate things through time, place, and manner. The first thing that comes to mind is adult businesses, because that's the test for their regulation, which you can do through zoning and those sorts of things, because you can't regulate content. Now, whether marijuana would be considered speech for First Amendment purposes, don't know. I mean, that's sort of an untested issue in Alaska, as far as I'm aware. I haven't done the research on that, so I could stand corrected on that particular issue, but that's sort of an unusual phrase to be in there, because typically you would regulate use, the use of the facility, commercial and those sorts of things, so you wouldn't get for zoning, so you wouldn't get to time, place, and manner for those sorts of things. The other piece of the quote that the mayor just read from the initiative talks about banning marijuana establishments, and that would be a moratorium, and you can do that by ordinance or by an initiative to the voters. And so those would be the two methods to address that particular feature of the initiative. What the borough has done in their resolution, and I was going to call the borough attorney today, I didn't get a chance, but if you look at the title of it, they are at least considering submitting an advisory question to the non-area-wide voters outside the city, remember. So it's the non-area-wide voters. March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. It's on the March 17th agenda, the clerk informs me.
Make sure we're green.
All right, will do. And so, what the borough's doing here is, I'm not sure they're going to do it or not, but they're considering asking the voters of whether the public supports the prohibition of marijuana cultivation facilities, marijuana product manufacturing facilities, marijuana testing facilities, and or retail marijuana stores. And that would be outside of the cities, because they're asking for that non-area wide. And when, if you listen to the testimony, and I think it's the first day the borough testifies, and if you go to the Alaska State Legislature, you probably all know how to navigate through there, but you just go to the website, pull up the committee, and then it has the list of the meetings. You click on that, and it comes on. It says you can get the video. I couldn't get the video, but I'm not a big techie. I got the audio, so you could listen to that. And so the borough attorney testified as to the vote tallies, and apparently, I didn't examine this independently, but based on that testimony from the committee hearing, the borough rejected the marijuana initiative. So this might be a reaction to that. I don't know what their thinking is, but I was going to call Nick and see what his thought was on what the assembly was considering when they proposed this. But it's an advisory vote that they're not bound by, but I don't know why. Advisory votes are interesting features of the democratic process. So we'll see how that evolves. So anyway, I don't know, Mayor, does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, some of them. I mean, it does say, I'm looking at the sample ballot, and it does say the bill would ban the public use of marijuana. That's all it says.
Right.
I mean, however, and I guess that's the way this Alaska statute is the translation of this ballot initiative into what they're...
Right, and there's an emergency regulation from the ABC board that defines what public means. And that is, I think that Jeanette has pulled that out in the...
dinner
it's on
packet.
The it's on the screen.
Oh, great, thank you. This is the emergency reg about public. Whether this is satisfactory to the city council and mayor, or whether we have any comments on that, I think there's still time. They're only in effect for a certain period of time, and then they have to go through the regular regulatory process.
Until June. Well, let me ask you this, Mike. Do you feel like that, does that feel like a good, that's why we have you, that's why you pay the big bucks. Do you think that sounds like a good definition of public place?
I think that it's a good start. I think we'll see how it translates in actual implementation. I mean, it says places of amusement or business parks. I mean, they could add some more specific places into that, and it'd be interesting to see what their intent is in adopting it. They do have some background information, and whether this would relate to, I guess, a bar would be a place of amusement. A prison, I guess you can't smoke pot. That's not a public place. That's not that amusing. So, I mean, I think that this is their attempt to get a little more certainty into the public business, you know, what public means. But, you know, we could always use some good input, and the police folks are always good for providing input. I think they're well-versed in, you know, dealing boots on the ground on these kind of things. So I think it's a starting point. How it translates in actual implementation, without naming any areas. There was one community that adopted an ordinance and is now looking back to amend it because they sort of got a little ahead of things. And so, you know, you look back at legislation And it's always subject to amendment based on implementation. So I think it's a good start. Could it be better? Well, yeah. I mean, everything can always have a little bit of improvement. But if you guys have thoughts, I'm happy to try and carry them forward, or you guys can pass a rezo and send it to the legislature on what we might think. It's up to you, though.
I have another question.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, so I'm looking at the upcoming dates for the Alaska. I don't know if this was presented by Commander Kettering. And February 24th, personal use marijuana becomes legal in Alaska, Palmer. 24th, deadline for state board to adopt regulations. So one of the things that I'm slightly concerned about, I mean, one of them, because I'm just thinking here, is we have the state fair, which has lots of hype and lots of amusement and lots of things going on. And when they talk about, well, I guess, anyway, my concern, I have a little bit of concern about just lots of marketing. And I don't know, do we have options? Would you say under this, do we have, first of all, it became legal. There's nothing, I suppose, illegal about advertising marijuana. I don't know if that was ever, there wasn't much to advertise, although I think pot kind of advertises itself. But
there was discussion of advertising in the committee hearings.
What, but as a city, can we, I mean, we could do that through a planning and zoning regulation or signage? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess what I'm wondering is what's our options when it comes to advertising and expansion of advertising before we start?
About marijuana and using it? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, let me say this. Okay. So if it's free, and I mean, I'm just coming up with a for instance, but you go to the fair and you buy a ticket for this and you get a free joint. And it's got a big advertising something or other. It's a giveaway. It's not a sale. I mean, that's one thing. But that's not really advertising, but it's one way of looking at things. But I guess I really don't want, one thing I don't want to see is I don't want to see advertising all over the place without some thought to how that's going to look, I guess.
And the question, then you get into advertising, you get into commercial speech. So that's a good question, and I don't have a good answer at this point for you, but I think that that's something to look into.
Madam Mayor.
The other thing is, on the state fair, there might be some considerations there, and I'd ask Chief Romali if he has anything to add to jump in. But if somebody's taking an edible or is smoking pot in public and they're under the influence, there could be a ticket that they get for that, whether, you know, it's kind of on the ground discretion, but that could be in a public place that you're using marijuana.
I do think, I mean, the state fair is probably one place that we're going to see some, maybe some groundbreaking kind of effort and or just indiscriminate use. And I think before it happens, we might want to think about how we're going to address it. We maybe want to ask the state fair folks and our police officers to make sure they have a clear strategy for how they're going to deal with that. Ms. Rander.
Mayor, on Thursday, the board's meeting, we also asked them if they would talk about what they are looking to do at the fair this year. So I think that's the first chance that they get. And I think Carol Kinley is bringing it up as a board item.
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Best.
Thank you. Just a quick reminder, the fair is non-smoking. They have designated smoking areas for tobacco use right now. They're a big proponent of non-smoking in their public areas. And either way, that would still be public within our definition of public. And if we look back to our smoking ordinance, 8.10, there is a definition of all outdoor playgrounds, playing fields, parks, arenas, stadiums, amphitheaters, and public transit waiting areas. It talks about outdoor playgrounds. Now, the problem with that is, if you continue on down, it says, except in designated smoking areas, which may be established only in perimeter areas at least 20 feet from a playground. There again, it still would be in the public area, and that would be a splitting of the hair, but the way that some of these things reads, you know, smoking areas, and that would, if we hope that our smoking ordinance kind of blocks some of this stuff, I think that's where we're going to have problems, where it says in smoking areas you can smoke based on our smoking ordinance. And so if we hope that this is going to really lock down people smoking outside of, you know, in the city limits, I think it would just be vague, and I'm a little concerned about that. But for the most part, our smoking ordinance was talking about inside structures. And so public and private properties looked at differently, but if it was outside on a private property that was open for business, this doesn't really cover that. So.
Councilmember.
As I was looking through the many different ordinances, most of them keep referring to the title of proposition, which says that marijuana will be treated as alcohol. And so I think a lot of them keep referring to that because that's what the law is. And that's, I don't know that we should be, you know, holding too much onto the smoking aspect of it, but we may have to get very specific. It's kind of a third thing. It's, yeah.
Madam Mayor.
Councilmember.
Thank you. When we went through and we did the no smoking ordinance, we, in my opinion, between the staff and the present council, we have excellent definitions. Not that they're perfect, because it can always use tweaking, but we have excellent definitions of public areas between alcohol consumption and the no smoking. You know, now I think we can go with those, but I have to agree with Councilmember Best. Then you use the word smoking, and yes, you have other methods with marijuana, but I think we've got public areas covered fairly well, and we can use that as a springboard, or at least that's been my hope. But we're definitely going to have to be careful. I wanted to make sure to thank everybody that's put this together, Mayor Johnson, the city clerk, the city attorney, because I've been trying to keep up just, you know, by newspaper articles and everything else about what other places are doing. But is it my, I do have one question, though. Is it my, no, it's not my, but when I'm reading across all of these different, you know, any of these proposals or whatever, you rarely see the word hemp. You see marijuana all the time. Now, in my particular opinion, after going to the mayor's forum, excellent forum over at the borough, I know it's an oversimplification, but what we've got here is four sections. We've got a plant, so we've got hemp, the hemp industry. We have medical marijuana, we have personal consumption, and the commercialization of all of those. And I didn't read all of it. I skimmed a lot of this, though, and looking for anything that addresses the commercialization of hemp as well. I mean, I'm really concerned about everything else that's been discussed in the last 40 minutes, but I don't want us to leave a leg out of the discussion here either. So I wasn't seeing anything that particularly, and let's face it, we're going to get asked. I've already been asked about it. I was asked about it when I was in Juneau by some folks that don't live in Juneau. They said, geez, from the valley and all you're growing, aren't you going to have a flood of folks that want to go into the hemp industry? So not that I've heard that, but from anyone else, but it's at least something that we need to keep in front of us. So that would be my question. I mean, do we just, if we see the word marijuana, do we just assume that it covers those three uses in particular?
I haven't,
yeah. Oh, good. You've waded through more of the paper than I have, Madam Mayor.
Well, I was just looking through this because this is actually the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation, and they have a tutorial. Looks like it's about 4 pages long. I didn't want to bring this in as the expert piece of paper, but or the information, but it does have a lot of definitions in it, which has things like concentrates, hash oil, edibles, cannabis tea, vaporizers, smoking, infusion, tinctures, hash, keef. I mean, I'm learning these things here as I go. Those are concentrates, flower, and it goes through the full components of the plant. So, and I can give this to the clerk if anyone would like to have a copy of this. I'll give this to her. Yes, they do.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Hemp? No, they don't have a. I don't see a definition of hemp. I don't know. I guess that's more of an agricultural product, but.
I heard you going through the H's and I didn't hear you say it, and so that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, I'll give this one to the clerk. I also have. I have something that came out of the Judiciary Committee before they opened the legislature this year, which is actually pretty comprehensive from Senator McGuire's office. We can put this in like a further future packet or something. I'll give them to the clerk. But and then I have some information from the Department of Justice because there is, there's a little bit of different stuff on that, which I think is of interest. But I want to make sure we're covering whatever people wanted to talk about. So, Mr. Getty.
In the ballot proposition itself, there is a definition of marijuana. I'm not familiar with hemp or how it works.
Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thanks.
In 1738-906, marijuana is defined. And it's a pretty lengthy definition, and I don't know exactly how hemp fits into the marijuana picture, but it means all parts of the plant of the genus cannabis, whether growing or not, the seeds thereof, the resin extracted from any part of the plant, and every compound, manufacture, salt, I don't know if you could get salt, derivative mixture or preparation of the plant, its seeds or its resin, including marijuana concentrate. Marijuana does not include fiber produced from the stalks, oil or cake made from the seeds of the plant, sterilized seed of the plant, which is incapable of germination, or the weight of any other ingredient combined with marijuana to prepare topical or oral administrations, food, drink, or other products. So even from this definition, you can see it's pretty complex. Yeah. It gets to the edibles, and there's a lot to it. So how that fits into the hemp piece, I don't know. So I don't like to say that, but that was a very good question, and I think that's part of having this special meeting to get some information about initiative, what some other communities are doing, and just some thoughts going as to what potentially might happen. Also, in the smoking ordinance, there's a laundry list of items where smoking is prohibited, and it speaks to enclosed places, enclosed areas on property, areas within 20 feet of the entrance, areas within 50 feet of a clinic, all outdoor playgrounds, playing fields, et cetera, unless you're in a smoking area that has to be 20 feet from the playground equipment and so on, areas within 10 feet of alcoholic beverage places. And then it goes on. So there's a long list to look at with respect to that. But I think that this is just part of the mix to figure out what to do on this particular issue. So,
Your Honor, I would like to hear from the Chief of Police, since it's been, a few days since it's been legal now, just what kind of situations there they feel that we need to have, in an ordinance to address, what some of the challenges have been, that kind of thing. So we would have that on the table before we have to adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. I would also like to ask if you would just speak to what changes you've seen. And I know Lance mentioned some of the security issues or policing issues that had been brought up when he was in Colorado, but if you would speak to, I don't know, any thoughts you have on that as well.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, first of all, we've only had two instances since it became legal. One was two 18-year-olds in a vehicle sitting in a cul-de-sac. That is a criminal offense, has nothing to do with Prop 2. The other was an employee in a business at 2:30 in the morning that was working late, had the door open. It appeared like he'd been smoking marijuana, but there was no proof of it. Now, that would be a violation, according to Alaska statute, of smoking in a public place. For your information, the definition of public place that the ABC board put up there is already in Alaska statute 1181-900. That's the exact definition of a public place. And it goes on to talk about highways and what that means, and that's every road, alley, and place you can think of. So you can't drive down the road in a vehicle and smoke dope either, because that's in a public place. It talks about businesses and places of amusement. So that would cover the fairgrounds, because that's a business open to a substantial number of the public. So they won't be able to smoke marijuana in the fairgrounds either. Your ordinance, the only thing I would add to a public place is possibly the smoke shacks, although that could be technically considered an extension of someone's business. But to be clear, you may want to put that in there. The other thing is House Bill 79 is addressing the open container law, which now pertains to alcohol. They're going to talk about that this week. There's a good definition of open container as it applies to marijuana. You may want to add that to your ordinance, just so it's clear to when people go online and try to find out, people don't know what the laws mean and they don't know where to look. Just like the definition of public has been in Alaska statute forever. It's nothing new. It just wasn't described and outlined in Prop 2. So everybody's saying we need to explain what public means. They don't. It's already there. But nobody knew that. So your ordinance may make it clear for our public what's allowed and what isn't, because unless we educate them, they won't know. What else can I answer for you?
Councilmember,
I'll defer.
Thank you. I've been sitting here comparing the emergency regs that the ABC board did and the ordinance that the municipality of Anchorage passed for their public place. And the one area that the ABC board didn't address, but is in the Anchorage one, and it's not one that you had just mentioned, was sports arenas. What would be your interpretation? Would a sports arena come under amusement, or just a regular park, or a business, or what? So they identified it in Anchorage as an individual.
I would add that verbiage to the ordinance.
Okay.
That would be the event center. You could, I suppose, yeah, technically say that's for amusement, but uh-huh, somebody else may not look at it that way. So
right,
I would be very clear in what I'm what,
so the
what
sports,
I mean.
Sports
I would
arena
put sports
would,
arena in the ordinance.
Good. Thank you, sir.
Madam Mayor.
Councilman.
Thank you. Again, back to the smoking ordinance, it already prohibits smoking, and marijuana is in that definition of what constitutes smoking. All outdoor playground, playing fields, parks, arenas, stadiums, amphitheaters, so it states the arena.
I agree, and it's very clear if they have both to look at.
Correct, and also you had mentioned smoke shacks.
Yes.
By our definition for smoking, there are no smoke shacks, because it's any ceiling and floor bound by two sides or more.
Well, we have one.
You do have one.
And that's
well,
not allowed.
Well, you have two that I'm aware of.
But that's not, based on this, they're not allowed inside city limits, though.
We only have one that was permitted.
They were already here long before your ordinance took effect. I don't know what they were told after it took effect, but maybe somebody will come to you and ask for one.
Correct.
All I'm saying is, if it's a concern, you may want to just add that verbiage to your ordinance and say it's not allowed, because it is part of the definition of a public place. Technically, it's an extension of their business. But if you add the verbiage, then it's clear. Yes, sir, Mr. Gag.
Chief. Quick question. You can still cite under open container, under marijuana, under state law, even without a local ordinance.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Well, if they pass it in House Bill 79, the way it's written, yes, we'll be able to cite under that.
Right.
So do you have any idea from Colorado, or from if Commander Kettering had mentioned anything about security, additional security needs or anything for the city as far as an extra officer or anything like that?
Not security, so to speak. We already have people that are driving while impaired on things other than alcohol, have been for a long time. We have one drug recognition expert officer that's trained to recognize things other than alcohol, and there's a specific way you have to process people for that. We used to have three officers, so we need to have a couple more trained up. The security comes in later if you allow retail establishments. You know, it's a pretty good target for burglars and robbers and people transporting money. So in Colorado, a lot of the retail establishments have security guards. They have bars on the windows like a gun shop might.
Do you know, I mean, this is just a side note, but it says in the initiative that there will be I believe the monies go to the Department of Revenue, and the Department of Revenue redistributes it back to whomever. The revenuers going to come by and get your bag? Or, I mean, we have any idea? I mean, are we talking about large amounts of cash?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, okay.
It depends. The Cole memo from the FBI has said that money laundering is one of the eight things they'll look at. You know, marijuana is still against the law under federal law, but they're going to sort of turn a blind eye to it if you don't violate these eight important things, and money laundering is one of them. So some of the bank's concerns are, if I'm taking money that's from a product that's federally illegal and I'm federally insured, could the FBI technically come in and that's an issue? So the banks aren't taking the money. So they found ways around that. They've set up other accounts and they've done other things in Colorado. I don't know what the state of Alaska is going to allow. Those are things the legislators are going to have to decide.
All right. Okay, so we're coming down to the end of our meeting, and I want to make sure that things were covered, or if there's any, do we want to, I'll go ahead, I know the attorney has something to say, but do we want to schedule another meeting, or did we get some of these things out, and we want to have another meeting to have some additional discussion? Would we like to schedule another meeting? I guess I'm asking Councilmember DeVries and Carrington that brought this forward, so they have a sense of what and where we're at.
From what I understand, at our next meeting here tonight, that will be the introduction of the one ordinance, and then after that is the first public hearing. Can we schedule more than one public hearing, or do we extend it?
All right. Is this something that we can take up at our next meeting?
I guess I was just wondering, I mean, we can wait till the next meeting. I'm just wondering if we want to schedule maybe a second hearing and kind of make it very deliberate. Okay.
All right. Mr. Getty, did you want to close this up? And well, you need to...
Just a quick one, follow up on the security issues. I don't remember when it was, last fall, I was in somewhere, and I talked to the Denver deputy attorney, and the city attorney of Denver had given a talk at the where I was at. And they said there's large amounts of cash, they need security, and the retailers get paid in cash, so they have a lot of cash. So if they pay their taxes, they pay their taxes in cash. So that's an issue. Of course, I don't think Palmer, assuming if they had a retailer that they were taxing, would have the magnitude of the money that the Denver has, but it would be it's still an issue. So the chief is right, there are some security issues. And they were saying that those retailers were targets for robberies and burglaries and those sorts of things. So,
and I was wondering, do you have to pay federal income tax if you have someone working for you on your marijuana operation?
Yeah, I'm sure it's the same thing.
Anyway, well, with we're out of the committee of the whole, and with no further business before us, this meeting is adjourned, and we'll come back for our regular meeting at 7 o'clock.